You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Michelle Smallman. CeCe out, Smalls in. I'm Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, the three of us, 6, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You did a fascinating thing in between your air shifts here.
Go on.
Well, I'm looking. So you did an outfit change?
Yes, I did.
Right?
We're not on camera. So.
And you got some sort of green-looking healthy drink.
Mm-hmm.
What is in that? Because there's no chance I would even ever drink something
it's
like that.
Definitely a kale smoothie.
No, it's a blueberry matcha.
Oh, who?
A blueberry matcha.
Why is it green?
Man Randy Savage?
Because matcha is green.
Oh, I'm unfamiliar with matcha.
Matcha is a tea. And it's green, and this has blueberry flavoring in it.
Is it good?
It is delicious. The girls in the makeup room are all a flutter over this drink because they tried it. I put them on to blueberry matcha.
What else is in it? Just blueberries and tea?
Blueberry flavoring, tea, ice, and oat milk.
Oh, no chance.
Oat milk.
See, Cam, I would think that you would drink things like that. You're like in shape and young, and like I would feel like you would drink things like that.
I drink smoothies, but I don't really get into the matcha business as much, but maybe I should. It sounds good.
You don't get into the matcha business.
The
matcha business. Yeah. It's delicious. And okay, so it's a finely ground powder of green tea leaves. It originated in China, developed in Japan, and it has caffeine in it, but it's not. I don't get the same crash from matcha that I do from coffee. And I'm a coffee girl. I love coffee, but it doesn't love me
back. So coffee out, matcha in.
Correct.
Got it.
All right. Well, welcome to... I feel like she has no idea what we're even referencing when I say Macho Man Randy Savage.
Macho Man Randy Savage?
Do you know who that is?
The wrestler, yeah.
Okay. All right. You do.
I've never watched him. I've never watched wrestling one day in my life, but I know who he is.
I just don't even understand how
he's
that's
a celebrity.
Possible.
How is that not possible?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking you. How is that possible?
None of my girlfriends growing up, Evan, wanted to revolve our hangs around watching wrestling. I don't know what to tell you.
But your dad doesn't watch or
didn't
watch?
No, he likes other sports.
I feel like that was a shot at wrestling. Anyway.
Not a shot.
All right. Saying. Anyway, so we have some interesting, fascinating things going on right now around Shohei Ohtani. This is the face of Major League Baseball, or one of the faces of Major League Baseball. This is a generational kind of player. This is a player, might I add, that... I don't think we've ever seen anything like him because when people say, well, no, Babe Ruth was like that. Babe Ruth was a pitcher and then became a hitter, an everyday player. Shohei Ohtani has done both simultaneously. We've never seen anybody do that. And now Shohei Ohtani is in the midst here of these allegations around gambling with his translator. And his translator supposedly had been, you know, had these gambling debts, according to Tisha Thompson's just tremendous reporting here on all these financials, backstories with ESPN investigative reporting with Ohtani, that I guess the guy owed somebody $4.5 million, allegedly wired the money to the person, the bookie that he owed the money to. We have no idea whether or not Ohtani knew about it or not. There's gray areas there. One report said one thing, then the next day was the next thing based on them changing their story. But now the latest seemingly is that the way in which Ohtani was told that this happened was in the midst of everyone else on the team. Tisha Thompson was on yesterday here on Greeny and had this to say.
I start making a lot of phone calls. Our people start making a lot of phone calls at ESPN. And of course, one of the people I call is Ms. Ohara, who I say to him, did you lie to me last night? And he says, yes. And I said, did Ohtani know about your gambling debts? And he tells me through a series of questions that I ask him, no, Ohtani didn't know about the debts. And no, Ohtani did not pay them back. But Ohtani's name is on those bank wire transfers.
Okay, so Smalls, this is where the gray area is. Did he know? Did he not know? His name is on the wire transfers.
Right.
But we have no idea.
So I've really tried to examine this, Evan, from different angles based on the information that we've been given. And the information has been evolving and the information has changed. And I think about myself, if I was in a different country and I was in a place where they were speaking a language that was not native to me, mm-hmm. and I was very reliant on this one person to help me navigate my day-to-day life because I can't understand the language. I know that they have a very close relationship, and I know that so much of what Ohtani is doing is being deferred through this translator because he is not fluent in English, right? So there is a part of me that could understand or at least fathom a scenario in which this person was able to take advantage of Shohei Ohtani and take his money because he's the one that is at the crux of all of his activity because he's the translator. But I can't get past the money and how it was able to get in his possession without Shohei Ohtani ever having to sign off on anything or there being some sort of checks and balances in place where he would be unaware. The thought that the first time he would really be hearing about any of this is in a team meeting where the translator's talking about that, that I can't understand. Because in order for the translator to be in a position where he has to speak to the Dodgers, how is Shohei Ohtani not alerted to this prior? How is nobody like, hey, Ohtani, Shohei, $4.5 million of your money was taken by this person and now he's getting busted for it and is going to have to speak to the team. Like none of that computes for me.
That part is really interesting. If we're understanding this correctly, which I think we are, so this guy is admitting, the translator is admitting where he went wrong. He told the Dodgers, and the Dodgers' first thought is, let's put him in front of the entire team before pulling Ohtani aside himself. And they still have him in and around the clubhouse, where, as stupid as this may sound, people's wallets are, people's information is out there. Like, there's a lot of stuff that you can, I mean, Tom Brady had his freaking jersey stolen from the locker after winning a Super Bowl.
Right.
Right? I mean, like, this stuff happens. So am I supposed to, this is what the Dodgers did? Like, can you imagine, like, Cam stole money from Greeny, and then we're all of a sudden, you know, Greeny's going to.
Hey.
Well, okay, Hembo stole money from Greeny.
Thank you.
And then and then all of a sudden, Greeny's going to have, like, or ESPN's going to say, Hembo, please address everybody on Greeny the next day. That doesn't make sense.
That'd be great content.
That would be great content.
That actually would be really great content.
Specifically with Hembo trying to reason as to why he thought it was okay, i.e. Hembo still parking and getting a discount at the parking lot here with a first responder discount, thinking that he's a first responder because he's the first to respond to Greeny, not because he's a police officer or part of an ambulance, you know, a hospital, whatever. Nonetheless. So here's that's true, Smalls.
We'll circle back to that later.
Yeah. So the thing that I'm getting at here with all of this is that part I don't understand. Why is he there still if he allegedly stole $4.5 million from the face of baseball? In addition, I may be really naive. I believe one of two things probably happened here. Possibility number one, Shohei Ohtani was trying to help out a friend. Friend got in a terrible debt, gambling. He tried to do him a solid. Probably shouldn't have done it. Definitely shouldn't have done it with a wire transfer. Definitely shouldn't have done it to an illegal operation bookmaking in California. That's option one. Option two is simply the guy stole all the information from Ohtani and did it himself. I am choosing, maybe in a naive sort of way, to not believe Ohtani was behind all of this and he was gambling, et cetera, et cetera. That's where I'm going currently, but we don't have all the information, obviously, Smalls.
We do not have all the information, and the problem, Evan, is that the information that we're being given, it's only breeding more and more questions, which I think, even if Shohei Ohtani had nothing to do with this, the fact that the information is changing and it's getting more and more suspect and more convoluted, that's when people stop giving you the benefit of the doubt.
So what do you believe right now, without making any accusations, or like in your head, the most logical thing that may have happened here based on the information that we have, Smalls?
I don't understand how $4.5 million of someone's money is taken from their bank account and they're not aware of it to the point where other people are aware of it and you're finding out in a team meeting. That is the one piece of this that I cannot digest, because this is somebody that the Dodgers are so invested in. Not only did they give you $700 million over 10 years, you're the face of their franchise now. That is how important you are to them. And no one is going to come to you directly and talk to you about this stuff and a theft involving your money before allowing this person to speak to the team. As somebody that's covered baseball and covered sports for a long time, these star players are so protected and insulated in so many ways. There's quite literally no world that exists in my mind where the Dodgers would not protect him or circumvent him in some way from having to deal with this if he wasn't aware of it.
There's a rule that baseball has in its rule book that could throw a curveball in all of this, pun intended. Cam, where are you at in terms of what you think is actually going on here?
I believe that, and there's so much we don't know and so much that we're still going to find out, but I think the story that Tisha Thompson got from Mizuhara on Tuesday is what happened. Because initially, even Ohtani's spokesperson and representative is the one that said, Ohtani did this to cover Mizuhara's gambling debts. Mizuhara has this 90-minute interview with Tisha. Ohtani's lawyers get involved and realize this is really bad, and they completely disavow the story. So I think people realized how bad it was getting and had to completely distance Shohei from the story. But I do believe, I don't think he's the one getting into this gambling stuff. That's what I think. I think he was doing a solid to his friend, and it got a lot more messy than it needed to. But Ohtani's representatives were the ones who initially said, hey, Ohtani did this to cover a gambling debt. He wasn't involved. And then the next day, Mizuhara addresses the team and they're like, oh, Shohei just found out about this now. It just doesn't add up.
Right.
But how am I supposed to then believe you and think that you weren't complicit in this if you're lying?
No doubt.
If you're...
I'll answer that.
Yeah, Charles. Please. Because initially, if you're saying one thing and then all of a sudden it's looking bad and you're changing your story, why am I supposed to give you the benefit of the doubt?
I'm gonna make it about you and I. You and I have become friends through working together, right, for all this time. If you said, hey, I need you to do me a solid, I would do you a solid.
Noted.
But I also may not be smart enough to actually like look through every part of what doing you that solid actually means.
If I asked you to do me a solid,
yeah,
and it was something that could directly impact your employment, would you do it?
It's not whether, no, but it's whether I would know that it could directly impact my employment. You started this by bringing up something so human in all of this that I don't believe that we actually have factored in any of what you just said.
The translator part of all
this? Yeah, what you just said is this is a person in a brand new country that has no idea what's going on with the language that everyone else is speaking.
Well, it's not brand new. He's been here for a while.
But I'm saying he's blindly trusting the person that he's kind of been told to blindly trust.
And they're so, very close.
Right. And so in that scenario, what you just said makes so much sense of, I don't know, he told me to do this. He told me, like, I want to believe that Shohei Ohtani just is trying to bail his friend out of a bad jam and had no idea by doing so he was actually committing a crime, potentially and maybe allegedly, and also maybe possibly breaking baseball rules. Rule 21, Section D, Item 3. Any player, umpire, or club, or league official, or employee who places bets with an illegal bookmaker or agent for illegal bookmakers shall be subject to such penalty as the commissioner deems appropriate in the light of the facts and circumstances of the conduct. Any player, umpire, or club or league official or employee who operates or works for an illegal bookmaking business shall be subject to a minimum of a 1-year suspension by the league commissioner. So, this is the thing. Can you get in trouble for just providing payment versus being the one that gambles? I don't know the answer to that question. I also made another huge mistake here with all of this. I did something that we have suggested, Bubba, Cam, and myself, that we have suggested Hembo to not do, which is assume people are friends with you, like Hembo does. I've never asked you, are we technically friends when saying I'm doing solid for you that I just volunteered to do, having no idea if you're reciprocating the friendship.
Oh, I got you. We're
okay.
Friends, no All doubt. Right.
But it was funny how you framed it like, hey, Michelle, you would
We're
do it.
Friends,
you
right?
would do it. Well, that right, part was right. fine, but you also said you would do a solid for me, right? Like as if the solid was, hey, can you go pick me up a blueberry matcha? Not, hey, can you cover $4.5 million in gambling debts? There's a wide gap between those two things.
Yeah, context matters.
Yeah, big solid that Shohei potentially would have been doing in that case.
Yeah, this is $4.5 million of a solid.
He's got 700.
Not yet.
That's. That's the part of this that I find fascinating.
You didn't get one lump sum, Cam.
Right.
I know he deferred it till, 20 years from now or something.
Like, our guy Shohei has made a lot of money in his life. He hasn't collected the full $700 million that he's going to get from the Dodgers just yet.
That is a huge thing, Cam, that Smalls just brought up. $4.5 million to Shohei, who I think it's all in earnings has been like 40 to 50, is a much bigger percentage than $4.5 million within the $700 million all in. Like, he has a ton of money. He has set for life money. He doesn't have what he's going to have. He doesn't have enough where I don't think $4.5 million, you wouldn't notice that it's gone. That's why I just think this is a guy doing a solid for a friend, having no idea that he was committing a crime.
But then why not just stick to that story?
Allegedly.
Why not just say,
I don't know the
answer. I gave this
person
money. They asked for it. He is one of my most trusted friends and people that I work with on a daily basis. He was in a bad spot. I gave him the money. I didn't know what he was going to use it for.
Because he was wiring the money from his account, in that case, if that's what happened, to an illegal bookmaking service, which looks really bad, and we get into the gray area of the rule where he could potentially be suspended for a year if that's the case. Mm-hmm. And his lawyers got involved, realized that was so bad. That's why I think what Mizuhara said happened on Tuesday is what happened, and then they had to change the story once they realized how bad it was.
I think it's because, Cam, they realize that's a crime, potentially.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Not because of the suspension.
Either way, the federal authorities are involved in this story now, too, not just MLB that's going to be looking into this. So there's a lot of reasons why Shohei may have made that mistake and then wanted to backtrack it, whether it was him or his lawyers or whoever it was. There's no reason for him to be like continuing with this story. As bad as it looks now, they do have to backtrack in some sense.
I don't want to say we solved it based on Tisha Thompson's amazing reporting, but I think what we just came up with makes a lot of sense.
I totally disagree. I think there are many
details. Well, we're not friends.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
But I think there are a lot of details in this situation that have yet to come out.
You're right, but I want to make sure we're all on the same page in our disagreement here. So what you're saying is, meaning we're understanding each other. So Cam and I think, are both saying, Ohtani does a solid for the translator. The translator tells the story to Tisha Thompson. Hey, I appreciate him doing this. I made a colossal mistake. I have gambling debts. None of them realize they're actually potentially, allegedly, maybe committing crimes and potentially could be suspended from baseball. His representatives come in and say, what did you just say? Because if that's actually true, these are the things that are going to happen. The story changes. So basically they sit down with this guy who he did a solid for and say, well, he's not taking the fall for this. You're the one who did this. You did this, not him. And they're going to separate the two of them. I think that's what Cam and I are saying. Right, Cam? I don't want to speak for you on this.
Yes, that's okay. What I believe.
Your disagreement hypothesis
because there's multiple,
right? Good, okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Your disagreement is on what part of this?
How am I supposed to believe if he has all of these representatives and people in his camp that are guiding him through how to navigate this situation that he doesn't also have money people that he would have to go through in order to make this happen?
More to be discussed with that one. Greeny is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at Progressive.com. Coming up, how hard is it actually to move on from a championship coach? We'll get to that next. It's Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
Greeny, the podcast.
Maybe now they know where Oakland is. An 80-76 upset victory over Kentucky.
This changed everything tonight. There's nobody in the country that doesn't know what Oakland basketball is, and I'm really proud of that.
Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. Boy, was that the story yesterday and into today. Oakland's upsetting Kentucky. First round of the NCAA tournament. Aloha, Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen with you. We are in for Greeny and Hembo today.
Oh, you don't think Illinois beating Morehead State is the
biggest
lead
upset
headline on the marquee today?
Wait, you got to tell the world. So you yesterday, you're yes. An Illinois alum.
Yes, I am. Very proud Illinois alum.
So you yesterday are like, all right, you know what? I don't want to watch it at home. I want to get that full NCAA tournament vibe.
Yeah.
You go to like an Illinois backing bar in the city.
Yep.
In New York City. And what do you see?
Oh, this was great. So I walk into this bar in Midtown, and you know when you walk in a bar, there's like usually a little hallway that you have to walk through before you actually enter the bar. So I'm in the little hallway, and I turn to my right, and there's these framed photos on the wall. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, this guy's staring back at me in one of the pictures. I was like, wait, I know him. It was a young Chris Carlin. Framed photo of him.
What?
In the hallway at this sports bar
Cam
in
is
Midtown.
Like stunned by this.
I bet Chris Carlin doesn't even have a framed picture of Chris Carlin.
I texted him and I was like, hey, I know this guy. And he's like, oh yeah, used to host a show called Beer Money for SNY when he would go to random sports bars across the city.
He and Amber Wilson together.
Yeah, he would do trivia and ask people questions. And if they won, they got money for beers.
Cam just actually stole the spotlight here on this. Boy, did you just throw this for a loop. What a fascinating question you just asked. Do you have framed photos of yourself in your home?
Well, I'm in some of the photos, but it's not me by myself.
Yeah, that would be like, very self-serving.
Yeah, like, wow, I looked great that day. Here's a solo of me in a frame. That'd be weird. But no, of course, there's like pictures of me with my parents and pictures of me with Frankie Smallman, my dog, or pictures of me with my friends. But I'm in them.
But do you think Carlin has framed photos of Carlin in his home?
Well, not
like
by
Carlin
himself.
Like Carlin and Joe? Like they have a framed photo of each. By the way, let me shout those two guys out because they're basically third to last and last in the ESPN Tournament Bracket Challenge.
Some of us are slow out of the gate when it comes to the Bracket Challenge, Evan,
yeah.
Okay?
You're in between them.
I am, yes.
But yes, a framed photo of Carlin from Beer Money, SNY back
okay,
in the day at the restaurant.
I'm sure he has framed photos of him, his family and his friends maybe in his house.
I don't know.
I don't have any framed photos of
He's been married for
work.
Almost 20 years. I have to imagine he and his wife have a framed picture. But it is funny that there is one in a bar somewhere.
Yeah,
but your initial reaction, Cam, was asking the question I am now reiterating and making about all of us, that was your initial reaction. Not that she saw the photo, but that your assumption would be that Carlin would not have a framed photo of Carlin.
Yeah, it might just be his wife. Like, he might not be in the picture of the framed photos in his own home, but...
Okay, here's the question. Do dudes buy picture frames if they're left to their own devices? Like, I am sure that Carlin has framed photos of him or his family in his house because I'm assuming his wife got those printed, got the frames. I'm assuming she decorated the home. I have been to dudes' houses and apartments where there's not a female influence there, and it's pretty bleak. So I can't imagine that dudes are going to Target or whatever and saying, hey, let me get some frames and print out some photos of the fam so I have them around the house.
That's a good question. I'm trying to think back. Like, when I was single, and it doesn't... When I was single, did I have photos?
I have framed pictures of me and my family in my home.
Do you?
A couple.
You bought the frames?
One of them. One of them was given to me, but I did buy one to put in a frame specifically.
Okay, that's nice. Yeah, most dudes have like posters of Michael Jordan or whatever.
I had that.
Yeah, of course you did.
Still
the
does.
The wings?
See?
How do you not? In your college dorm? I would
say. No, I'm not saying college. I'm saying post-college.
Smalls, I am telling you, there are countless people right now listening to Greeny here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, that had the Wings MJ poster, the horizontal MJ poster.
Oh, I've seen it. I've seen it.
In their room.
I've seen it. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Bubba, did you ever have an MJ poster?
Did you have an Emmitt Smith poster?
The Emmitt Smith poster. My childhood Emmitt Smith poster is in this control room right now.
I know Bubba so well.
I brought it to Will Cain's show, and it's in this room right now still.
So love that's it. The one from your home growing up?
Yeah, the one from my house as a kid is in ESPN right now behind me.
Love that.
So, but you're knocking the thought process, Smalls. Like, so if you're meeting a guy and that guy has an MJ poster.
How old is he?
I don't know. Boy, now I'm nervous to even answer. I don't know.
I mean, if we're fresh out of college and he's 22, I don't expect anything better.
What if it's like a cool framed MJ
thing? Like, you still kind
of
had a baby brain then.
If it's a cool framed MJ thing?
No.
What? Okay, so what needs to be in the frames? And if you go to someone's home.
I don't have high expectations for dudes when it comes to home decor. I just don't. I don't expect guys to be like, wow, you know what? This room could really use some accent pillows.
What about hypothetically a LeBron photo?
They're like, let me get my George Foreman grill out and hang up my MJ poster. Like, this is what dudes do.
That sounds great. I've got to be honest with you. What if you hypothetically have like a LeBron poster, but you were the one who shot the photo of it? Just hypothetically.
If it's my work, that's cool then.
Okay. All right, Rob, you're good. All right, anyway, ESPN Bet now live as the
official, we'll do it live!
as the official sports book of ESPN. ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Find all of your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all of the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Half-court heave. No good. Out of bounds. Duquesne can do. 71-67, their first NCAA tournament win since 1969 as they knock off BYU 71-67.
That was the call, Westwood One, NCAA Radio Network, Duquesne over BYU yesterday, NCAA tournament. Hello, I'm Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen with you in for Greeny here on ESPN Radio. Professor Robert Healy went viral yesterday. He put out a tweet. He is a professor at Duquesne. He put out a tweet that everyone is now talking about, and Professor Healy joins us today. All right, tell us what that tweet was.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Big fan. Well, I was supposed to have class at 3:05 p.m. The game ended right around 3. And I looked at the euphoria on everyone's face on campus, and I thought, there's just no way I can put these people into a seat and listen to me lecture for the next hour or so. So I said to them via Canvas, and then I got a screenshot of that I put on Twitter. It said, class is canceled due to March Madness. Go celebrate. I'll figure it out.
And what was the response, Professor, when you put that out? Because I imagine some students were responding to the fact that you let them be free of their class to go celebrate. What was the response that you got from the student body?
You know what? I was popular before. I'm the most popular person in their whole world now. You know, I mean, and I think it's because they, as I've been told, you know, I get it, quote unquote, and I'm very flattered. I think I do. You know, so, you know, my students love me for a variety of reasons. I'm always very flattered by that. But this one, they've been telling me this drives it home. This is why he's our favorite, yada, yada. So that's been super cool. It's like a Mr. Holland's Opus moment for me.
Oh, I love that.
Professor Lee, question. What subject do you teach, and what was going to be the subject of yesterday's lecture?
Well, I run the sports information and media academic program at Duquesne. It's a major minor where you can learn how to do sports PR and or sports writing, sports casting, that kind of stuff. And so I founded the program there. And the course I was teaching at 3:05 to 4:20 every Tuesday, Thursday was called Media and Sports, which is pretty general. And it's a basic underpinnings theories of, you know, that relationship between media and sport. And it's like a, almost like sets them up to then take sports media practices and put it all into work. But that class, you know, has obviously, it's filled with sports fans. I mean, these are, you know, students who are in this major, you know, for a reason. I knew they didn't want to be there, you know, I mean, considering the atmosphere and, you know, why force them to, why would I take away, you know, what this student body's been waiting for over, for more than 50 years. And so, you know, my pedagogy on this, my fancy word for teaching is that, you know, you only live once. It's a short life. You know, we haven't had a tournament win in 55 years, which is a lifetime almost. So, you know, you might not have this experience again. I'm not going to take it away from you. Go celebrate the win on campus, a little bit off campus, whatever you want to do. You know, and I will stay up till 1 a.m. and I'll rework some lesson plans and some scheduling, because that's what, to me, that's what part of college is all about, especially in this culture, on this campus. You know, we're a basketball school. This is the biggest sports event, I think the best sports event on the continent. So go out and experience it. You're going to learn more from this today than you will in a textbook about sports.
All right, this is now, I now have an issue. I got to be honest. Professor Robert Healy Duquesne, okay, along with Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen with you. I didn't realize, Professor, that you taught sports marketing, media, broadcast, and sports information. Wouldn't yesterday have been the perfect time to actually meet with your students coming off of that victory and how this is being handled and the coverage of it and what would you do in this spot? I figured you taught like biology and of course nobody would want to be there. This is actually the subject you teach. I think there's an argument that you made a mistake. Fight me off on that.
No, we'll do that Tuesday. You know, they've got more games to watch and then we'll talk about it. I think I'm media savvy enough to understand that this message I sent out to the whole class should be screenshot and attached with hashtags. And I put it out there knowing it would probably have a good chance to go viral. So there's a lesson there as well. And right, we'll talk about that all in class.
That's
Tuesday.
A really good counter. Got to be honest with you.
Come on, Evan. He just smoked you there.
Yeah, he did.
Now, speaking of getting smoked, Professor, how have the celebrations been on Duquesne's campus since the win over BYU? And I hate to tell you this, but they're probably going to be short-lived because up next you have my Illinois Fighting Illini, who I think are going to crush you guys. So tell me what the celebrations have been like, because I'm sure they're going to be short-lived.
Well, you know, being in Pittsburgh, by the way, I heard this. This isn't mine. Seth Rohrabaugh from the Pittsburgh Post Gazette tweeted out, "The loser of this game has to drop their silent S."
I saw
I
that.
Was pretty funny.
I saw that. Let's go. I'll take those odds. That wager.
Being in Pittsburgh, I'll make a reference to the Pittsburgh Pirates back in 2013. Had 21 straight losing seasons, then all of a sudden got to host a playoff game and won, and the place went insane because of just the you know, what came before it in terms of futility. We got the Pirates beat, I think. I mean, we haven't had 21 straight losing seasons up to here. It's been a seven-year turnaround that Keith Dambrod has spearheaded and brought to us, you know, reawakening the 1950s Duke's glory, being that his father was on that team that was number one in the country back in the day and everything. It's really great to see this span out. But we still haven't won an NCAA tournament game since 1969.
Yeah.
So the release on campus of what that was, what that meant, and knowing what we committed to athletics at Duquesne. I mean, I'll put it this way. Duquesne had the conference. The A-10 is a good basketball conference. And then we had the coach with Dambrot. But then we built a facility, and then COVID happened. We had to open that new facility in front of no fans. And that team in 2019-20 had its season canceled, and they were on their way to making the tournament. So this feels like, you know, the culmination of just so much. And just, you know, think about college campuses, like, we couldn't even go near each other for 2 years. We're teaching with masks on. We're teaching over Zoom. Now we're cramming thousands of us into a small room and we're jumping around and hugging each other. I mean, this is not just what, you know, sports is all about. This is what life is all about. I mean, it feels great. We're alive on campus right now. It is awesome.
We're talking with Professor Robert Healy from Duquesne, who went viral yesterday because of the fact that he canceled the class that was happening right after Duquesne upset BYU, and he's joining us here in Greeny on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Final thing for you. You said, go celebrate, I'll figure it out. How did that work out relative to talking to your bosses and those you report to that you just canceled the class because a basketball team won?
We're a basketball school, baby. You know, I mean, I think we get it. I'm not actually, if you go back in history at Duquesne, and I wrote, I co-wrote a book called Kings on the Bluff about this, about the history of the program. And if you go back in time, the university president has once before, the president himself actually canceled the entire university's classes once following a big win. So this has precedent. I'm not doing anything that Duquesne wouldn't have done for basketball before. And I will make it part of the lesson plan on Tuesday for this course.
All right. And if Illinois wins, can Michelle speak at that course?
Oh, I mean, geez.
Let her speak to your students about Illinois beating your school.
In fact, if I can get her down right now to commit to any time coming to my class, she's welcome.
You got it, Professor. Anytime you need me, you let me know.
Only if Illinois wins, though.
I can't tell you that it's going to be a great lesson plan, but I'll help you out any way that I can.
Oh, no, we'd love to have you. And, yeah, I said, go Duquesne. It's going to be a tough fight, but, you know, BYU overlooked us, too. We're still dancing.
Thank you, Professor. We appreciate the time.
Bye, guys.
All right. I don't know if I love that anymore. I think I actually don't love it anymore.
I love it even more.
But he teaches, this is what he teaches, and he canceled the class, Smalls.
When I was a freshman at Illinois, that's the year that they made their run to the national championship game.
And what happened?
Whatever. They lost, Evan. They lost in the national title game to those people from UNC who didn't want to go to class. Let's not get into it. But I will say that when I look back on my college experience, that ride that we went on with that team and those moments of joy and celebrating together, it's a connectivity that you cannot replicate. And the fact that Professor Healy understands that and wanted to make sure that his students savored that and really got to experience it, he does get it. And that is so special, because when those kids look back on their college experience, what happened yesterday is going to be one of the main memories from their college time.
My sophomore year at the University of Wisconsin, we beat Purdue in the Elite Eight to go to the Final Four. Everybody went to the Main Street in Madison, State Street, to celebrate. Uh-huh. It was absolutely a mob scene. Drove me nuts. They didn't watch the Iowa State-Michigan State game next to scout the opponent. I stayed home. Did not go and celebrate. I had to watch the opponent. Very important, Smalls.
What happened?
Michigan State won and then beat Wisconsin in the Final Four. Again, that follow-up's not necessary. Coming up, who you got? It's Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Greeny, the podcast.
Smalls has no idea.
The Beatles.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Good job.
Well done.
Well done. Hello, Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen, in for Greeny and Hembo today.
You doubt me so much.
Oh, yeah, I really doubt you. I have no faith and support for you at all. Yeah,
I don't know movies.
I'm always anti-Smalls.
I know music, that's for sure.
No chance Hembo would have known this, right, guys? Can Hembo?
No.
He might have just guessed the Beatles.
He couldn't even name all four Beatles. He said Rex Harrison instead of George.
Ooh, Rex Harrison.
Rex Harrison's like an actor from My Fair Lady or something.
Rex Harrison, the little-known fifth Beatle.
And I think he also said Vladimir Lennon.
Vladimir Lennon, what is going on?
If you missed any of Greeny, you can catch up on both hours of the show and the Greeny podcast, available daily wherever you get your podcasts.
Life is a series of choices.
Who you got?
Make a decision.
Say it! Say it!
All right. I'll say it.
Who you got?
All right, Bubba. Who you got?
All right. Who you got? Brought to you by Granger, and the NCAA Women's Tournament is officially underway on ESPN. So who you got for your guys' Final Four in the women's bracket?
Okay. I have South Carolina, the undefeated South Carolina, Caitlin Clark's Iowa. I have Stanford and USC. Those are my final four for the women's, and I have Iowa ultimately cutting down the nets. I want Caitlin Clark to get it done.
I have South Carolina over Texas on one side, Scarsdale High School's Lindsey Gottlieb and USC over LSU and Angel Reese and company, and then I have South Carolina over USC to win it all, which I think is two USCs now that I think about it in the finals.
How about that?
How about
that?
Huh?
Look at that.
That's a good one. KOD brought to you by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN.
All right, in about 25 minutes, the men's tournament continues, and we got number 9 Northwestern. You may have heard of that team against number 8 Florida Atlantic. This one is Florida Atlantic minus 4.5. The game is in Brooklyn. Greeny will be in attendance. Who you got for this game?
I have Northwestern advancing.
I used to be the play-by-play voice of Florida Atlantic University, so I hope nobody hears this from there because I picked Northwestern.
Oh, did you?
I think it's really hard to go on a magical run one year and do it again the next.
It is
I know
hard.
Butler did it, but I think we have to retroactively look back at Butler a little differently. Mm-hmm. When you're coached by Brad Stevens and Gordon Hayward is your best player on one of those two teams, like those are pros. Shelvin Mack on the team, a pro. Like I don't know that FAU is littered with pros. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we're going to look at it. John L. Davis is going to become a pro. Dusty May will become an NBA head coach one day. I don't know, but I'm going Northwestern.
What was your signature call for when there was a dunk or
good
a three-pointer?
Good question.
Let me tell you something. I was such a bad play-by-play guy that at one point I called a high school game on ESPN West Palm in South Florida, and I mentioned the 51-yard line.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is no such thing as the 51-yard line.
Oh, Evan.
Wow.
Back to you, Bubba.
All right.
Didn't you play football?
Yes, it's not that I don't know football. Well, I mean, maybe somebody would accuse me of not knowing football, but yes, I did play football.
All right,
jersey on ESPN2 every single day, my jersey
that's
behind
right.
me.
Tuesday was the first day of spring. We made it. Who you got as your favorite season?
Oh, summer. All day. I am a summer baby. Everyone is happier in the sunshine and in the summertime. It is far and away the best season on the calendar.
Yeah, let's be honest. It depends the shape I'm in.
Oh, Evan.
It's true. If I'm not in good shape, winter.
No one ever picks winter.
All right.
Hoodies, jackets, cover everything up.
Winter is by far Mr. Irrelevant when it comes to the season.
You're right. But you know what? You feel very irrelevant when you don't feel good about yourself. Summer should be the right answer. Absolutely.
The correct answer is fall. I don't know what either you guys are talking about, especially a nice New England fall.
I love fall. It's number 2 for me, but it's also the busiest time of the year for us, whereas summer, it's like we're going on vacation. We're having an Aperol spritz. We're getting a good tan.
Those are?
I am. I don't know about you.
Yeah,
I don't
stop
know
saying we.
Yeah, why? Stop putting the we on it. I have kids.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what to say to that.
Nothing. You're better off just moving on. I love my kids, but like you can't have the vacations that you have with kids.
The tannest Evan gets is in the makeup room.
He did get really tan one day. He was orange.
Too tan.
Yeah.
44 years ago yesterday, Dallas aired an episode called A House Divided, the final episode of season 3, and most famously known as the Who Shot JR episode. Who you got as your favorite episode of a TV show all time?
Oh, easiest question Bubba's ever asked me.
Wow.
The Pine Barrens Sopranos.
Ah, nice. Great one.
Iconic, iconic episode of the greatest show of all time.
Pine Barrens.
Up until the final episode, I still thought, without giving it away for those who haven't seen the series yet, I thought a character from the Pine Barrens was going to make his return at the end. He did not, but that is an all-time episode.
Very, very tricky. Tie for me. Between when Dylan left 90210 and when Brandon left 90210, their final episode's the first time for both of them in that spot.
Never saw
the music, the emotion. I could cry watching it right this second.
The emotion.
So, yeah. Bubba.
Not Brandon leaving.
How dare you?
Sorry.
Are you ripping on Brandon
the music.
Walsh?
I've never seen 90210.
They put Night Swimming as one of the things. When Brandon leaves, R.E.M. Bubba, I bet you like that song. Night Swimming, R.E.M. Great song.
I'm not a huge R.E.M. guy. But
more of a Pearl Jam guy.
Yeah,
you should go see them.
Evan and I are going.
PJ.
They're friends now.
We're taking the PJ to PJ.
Anything else?
Now we got about 10 seconds, so right. That's about it.
Carlin versus Joe coming up next. Fordbot, last place in the bracket challenge. Madness continues. Carlin versus Joe next. ESPN Radio and ESPN App.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN App. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.